This is an iHeart podcast.
Pro Woche bis zu 50 Euro zusätzlich sparen. Mit der Netto Plus App. 10% Rabatt auf deinen Einkauf sichern. Dazu Payback-Punkte sammeln und sparen. Mach mehr Plus mit der Netto Plus App.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, and man, if only we had something to talk about on a Monday. They tried to murder Donald Trump again. That's going to kind of be a central theme of today's show. We are going to talk about culture of assassination. I have theories on both assassination attempts, and they are different theories. We have all kinds of audio, where we're going as a future country. Medal of Honor Monday is coming an hour from now. I will at some point in time get to emails, all that. So much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we do any of that, we're going to do a story, a little history story, one we've done before. I don't know how long I'm going to take on it, but as far as it relates to Trump, where we are as a country, a culture of assassination, how our culture is changing, this story is insanely applicable. When I look at the fall of the Roman Republic, when Rome went from being a republic to being one that was ruled by emperors, you know, Augustus, Nero, Caligula, Claudius, you name the emperor, that transition period, how did that happen? How did they go from being a republic with senators who ran things to being an empire? How did that happen? When I look at the story of how that happened, and the similarities I see today with what you are living through and what you're going to live through, I am blown away. It looks like a mirror to me. Obviously, there are differences because it was a different society. But watching them transition, reading the stories of watching them transition, what prompted the transition, how the people in power handled the transition, how the people who weren't in power but wanted something better, it all looks like us to me. So here it is. Rome had been a very, very successful, wealthy country for a long time. We look back now and we look at this juggernaut of an empire and we just kind of think it was always that way. But Rome had some hard scrabble beginnings. It was just some city-state in what you would call Italy. And they had to fight everyone around them, tooth and nail, fight and fight and fight. We got to go to war here and war there and war here and war there. And eventually they fought a war, you know, they fought three of them with Carthage. Those are called the Punic Wars. Kids, if you want a fascinating history story, that's one I would recommend. Anyway, Carthage, what Chris said, which one? All three of them are fascinating, Chris. Anyway, but as Rome, just like America, began to find its footing on the world stage, Rome began to look around at some point in time and they realized, gosh, we have a lot of money. We have a lot of power. Things are going great. America was that way, is that way, has been that way for so long. We are so blessed with unending natural resources here, with a limited form of government, at least it used to be, where the people are so free to do what they want to do. The markets flourished when you combine the natural resources, the geographical advantages we have, the free market systems, the blessings by God. We just made money and power and money and power, and we came up so fast as a country. And Rome really went through this too. They actually took a little longer than we did, but they went through this too, where eventually you look around one day and you think, dang, we're kind of without peer around here. I didn't actually mean for that to rhyme. Anyway, but something else happened to Rome during this time, very similar to what happened to us. You see, in the beginning, the Romans were insanely ambitious people. They were widely known to be crazy ambitious. But you were raised, if you were about to be in Roman high society, let's say your dad was a general and a senator, and they had things structured well where generals and senators were often one and the same. Anyway, if your dad was one of these old Roman wonderful families, you were brought up with a sense of duty, not necessarily selflessly either, but you knew if it was me, if I'm a young man in Rome, my dad's some big shot general. He fought the Carthaginians. He would have taught me. He would have made sure I was super advanced in my studies. I would have had tutors. I would have had extensive combat training. That, you know, our high society kids today, they never go put on a uniform. It's up to the rest of us. Not that way in Rome. I would have had extensive combat training, and I would have known beyond a shadow of a doubt that I needed to go to war on behalf of Rome to prove my valor, my bravery, my intelligence, to serve my country. I would have been raised purposely with a sense of duty to Rome. And that's how the Romans were raised. They were fanatical about raising their high society types in that way. We, Americans, have been that way. This is all coming back to Trump's assassination. You're going to have to wait. We have been exactly that way for so long. One of the things that floors me about ancient America, when I'm talking about older America, from the Civil War to the World Wars, was how often it was the congressman's son who died. The senator's son who died. President's son who died. This brigadier general here, he didn't sail through the war unscathed. He lost two sons here. This was the norm in American society. We've always had our elites too, but if you were raised as an elite family or made yourself one, your kids were taught, just like the Romans were taught, you have a duty. You will be purposeful. You will serve. Look, the Kennedys are, we'll use the Kennedys because everyone knows who they are. Jack Kennedy, the father of JFK, he was as close to American royalty as you could be back in the day. Completely wired in, ambassador, political, as fancy as they come. His kids, boom, military, goodbye, go. During WW2, JFK, you know, the guy who would later on be president, he came from the highest of high society. Why wasn't he just on Instagram in Barbados somewhere surrounded by women? No. He was in the water at one point, swimming to shore with a broken back, towing one of his men with a tow line in his teeth to save his life. That is high society, what it used to look like. And it looked like that for so long in Rome, too. But after a while, time does this to nations. After a while, high society Romans and high society Americans, they looked around. And they just slowly but surely over time, as they got more and more separated from our founding, from our principles, from our nation, from things like that, they looked around and kind of started saying to each other, hey, I mean, I don't have to go to war, right? And so icky. I might die. A sense of duty? What? No, we make a lot of money. What? There's no duty here. And the Romans were going through this terribly. And they started to mass import slaves. Every time they would win a war, this is how the whole history of the world's been done. You win a war, you take slaves. Women, children, men. The men go to the salt mines. Ugh, the women and children don't have it even that well. And it's rough, rough. But as the slaves, as the foreign cheap labor began to pour into Rome, what happened was it was crowding out Roman citizens from being able to own homes, to have solid jobs, to support their families. That came from the mass import of foreign slave labor by the Roman elites. None of that sounds familiar to you, does it? None of that could happen here. 1.3 million jobs lost by Americans last year. 1.2 million jobs gained by foreigners in America last year. And after enough time with this kind of evil leaders running Rome, evil senators, evil people running the society, the people themselves freaking had enough of it. They were tired of getting run off their farms. They were tired of losing their jobs. They were tired of having no representation anymore. They were tired of it, and they went looking for someone who would step up and fight. And we will continue that story in a moment. I know you probably don't need any testosterone help because we're discussing Roman history right now, but either way, you should get some chalk. Because the truth is, no matter how much Roman history gets you going, we drink estrogen. It's in the plastics, it's in the waters, and we have to fight back against our free-falling T levels naturally. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Me? I take a male vitality stack every single day. I eat my breakfast, I take my stack. There's a female vitality stack, there's whatever you're looking for. But your mind is going to work so much better in about 90 days. 90 days. That gets you a 20% increase in your T level. Go. Get a subscription. Save some money. Tell me how you feel 90 days from now. I want you to email me and tell me how you feel. The emails are amazing. It blows me away. It blesses me. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday, coming up an hour from now. Yes, I am mixing a little history because of the Trump assassination stuff. We're having a bigger talk about where we are as a country, the similarities to where we are in the fall of the Roman Republic are amazing, and we are discussing the background of that, and I kind of just outlined some of that right away. Remember, you can email the show jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So the Roman elites, the American elites, mass imported large amounts of foreign slave labor. They also abused the Roman treasury the same way American politicians have abused the American treasury. All this translated into the people themselves being abused. Losing jobs, losing standing. Soon you're not middle class, you're poor, you're begging, please throw me some bread. And you're looking around wondering what happened to your Rome, what happened to America. And the people had enough of that crap. And the Gracchi brothers, they rose. I don't have any idea whether they were good guys or not. And anyone who tells you they know is lying. These are ancient historical things that happened before Christ. This is a long time ago. But we do know they rose. And they were known as populares, populists. Ever heard anything about populists rising today? Exactly what they talk about Donald Trump with. And what were they saying? What were they selling? And again, I'm not going to speak to how valid any of this was or how honest they were being. They were selling real representation for the people. Stop running the people out of their jobs. stop the endless import of foreign slave labor. Let's make sure the people can own land again, homes again. Except real life. It's not a Disney movie. It's not a book we read our kids when they're younger. Real life is ugly. And in real life, the good guy doesn't always win. That's, look, we're going to have a very hard talk tonight. I'm hopeful about a lot, but we're going to have a very hard talk tonight. In real life, the good guy does not always win. You see, the Grocki brothers, they both got killed. Now, because the people were so upset, more populists came after them. There were many. I could list them for you, but it won't matter. There were more that came after them, from Gaius Marius, Julius Caesar, but there are others too. And they all had this in common. They all got killed. They were all murdered by the evil, corrupt Roman system that had found a lucrative venture for itself. The lucrative venture was, hey, we're all the Roman elites here. Why don't we just join together? We will loot the treasury, and I don't want to have to keep paying these workers. I have this huge farm, and gosh, the labor costs are through the roof. So, yes, we'll loot the treasury, but I'll also hire 200 slaves, fire 200 Romans, and I make even more money. I don't have any sense of duty to my country. I will just continue on this way. And those very, very powerful, very, very evil people who were running Roman society at the time just simply murdered every single populist who rose up and tried to oppose them. Eventually, I told you already the story, Octavian fights Mark Antony. Eventually, the story ends with a populist, a populare, if you want to call him that, who was smart enough and mean enough to pull off the win. But systems, corrupt systems, corrupt forms of government, they will defend themselves, and they will defend themselves violently if necessary. When you have people who lead your society with no sense of duty to it, and no moral code whatsoever, they will do anything to you and don't feel the least bit guilty at all. You think these people sit around and stress about the fact that they've handed over your job to a Haitian?
I wish I had 30 more. Our Haitian associates come to work every day. They don't have a drug problem. They'll stay at their machine. They'll achieve their numbers. They are here to work. And so in general, that's a stark difference from what we're used to in our community.
This is amazing. This foreign slave labor, they're too scared to even take a break. They work for pennies on the dollar. They work for about $6-7 less an hour than Americans, by the way. But of course, the CEO of the factory, woohoo! This is awesome. My bottom line looks great, baby. You think these people won't kill to keep this thing going? Let me ask you something, because we're going to get into the Trump assassination stuff specifically now. Let me ask you an honest question. I live in, well, it doesn't matter where I live. Let's say there's a city of 1 million people. Okay, so that's a good sized city. It's not New York City. It's not LA. It's not Houston, but it's a good sized city. 1 million people. In a city of 1 million people, how many of those people would kill you for $100? If you had a $100 bill and they could shoot you in the face and get away with it, how many of them would do it? Okay? You have a number in your head, whatever that number is, I don't know. Now, let me ask you, in that city of 1 million people, how many would kill you for $1 billion? It's a lot more, isn't it? Well, let's talk about the system and money and the assassination attempt of Donald Trump and the assassination, I very sadly believe, is coming for Donald Trump. Before we get to that. Speaking of mass importation of people, I could sit here for 3 hours every single day
and read stories of violence that's being done to American citizens now. Every time, I freaking hate it. Doesn't matter what you read, LA Times, New York Post, online, it's just murder, murder, assault, rape, murder, murder, assault, rape. What do you carry on your body that will allow you to stop a bad man? A bad man who's only ever known violence. He's been raised violently. His entire life is assault and rape and murder. And he just ran into your daughter in a dark parking lot at night. Can she stop him? If the answer is no, you need to get a Byrna pistol launcher now. These are non-lethal. So even when your daughter says, Daddy, I don't like guns. Tough. It's not a gun. Shoots pepper balls. Tear gas balls. She doesn't even have to be accurate. Did you know that? Shoot it on the freaking ground right in front of him. Did you know that? Maybe the best part about it. Shoot it and live. And it's legal in all 50 states. No permit. No background check needed. All you have to do, save some money. BYRNA. Byrna.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day. It's for the families of those who didn't make it.
I'm J.R. Martinez. I'm a U.S. Army veteran myself, and I'm honored to tell you the stories of these heroes on the new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. From Robert Blake, the first black sailor to be awarded the medal, to Daniel Daly, one of only 19 people to have received the Medal of Honor twice. These are stories about people who have distinguished themselves by acts of valor, going above and beyond the call of duty. You'll hear about what they did, what it meant, and what their stories tell us about the nature of courage and sacrifice. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can download an entire show at your leisure. iHeart, Spotify, and iTunes. I about gave out the email address, Chris. It's because you were talking to me. Chris messed me up. Chris was reminding me that I need to remind you about Wednesday, September 18th. That's, well, Wednesday. I said I didn't have to give out the dates. Whatever. It's Wednesday. I'm not going to be here. I'm doing the Tucker Carlson live tour that night. If you're in Texas or want to fly to Texas, Chris said there are still tickets available. Okay. TuckerCarlson.com. If you want to come out, see me and Tucker riff on stage for a while. I'll be right back here on Thursday, so don't worry. But that's where I will be Wednesday. You're welcome to come see me. Or if you just miss me so bad that night, you can tune into it. I'm sure there's some way you can tune into the thing and watch it or listen to it or something. I don't know. I should probably look into that before I bring any of this up on the air. Either way, let's go back to the Trump assassination. Corrupt evil systems, corrupt evil governments kill the people who try to challenge them. This is now attempt number two on Donald Trump's life. Yet another street communist woke up and decided to murder him. Here's the sheriff.
Probably between 300 and 500 yards. But with a rifle and a scope like that, that's not a long distance.
We're getting information about the rifle. We were told it was an AK-47 style. Now I hear it's an SKS style. None of that matters. Don't worry. Don't stress yourself on the details. It was an older weapon with the serial number off of it. It had an optic, it had a scope on it, and it was certainly capable of making that shot. The shooter, we now know, he was there 12 hours. 12 hours before Donald Trump started playing golf, and they didn't catch him because it was outside of the perimeter.
The golf course is surrounded by shrubbery, so when somebody gets into the shrubbery, they're pretty much out of sight. All right? And at this level that he is at right now, he's not the sitting president. If he was, we would have had this entire golf course around it. But because he's not, the security is limited to the areas that the Secret Service deems possible. So I would imagine that the next time he comes at a golf course, there'll probably be a little bit more people around the perimeter.
Okay. All right. So I feel like if we're going to address this properly, I need to go ahead and tell you that I have two different theories. And we're going to address the first assassination attempt first, because I believe... All right, I'm just going to come out and say it, okay? I believe Donald Trump is going to be assassinated. I do. But I don't take any pleasure in saying that. I hate saying that. But the history of the world says the first system disruptor doesn't make it. He is still relying on the Secret Service, and we're going to get to that part in the first assassination attempt in a moment. He's still relying on the Secret Service augmented with local law enforcement. And so what that means, I know you can figure that out on your own. Let's say, I don't want to give out a number. I know how much Secret Service he has, but I don't want to give out a number. We're in this environment. I'm very, very worried someone's going to hurt him. He has a number. We'll call it 100 agents, right? That's not at all accurate, but that's one I'm giving you. If he has 100 Secret Service agents, they know that's not enough to protect him at all times. So when they go to an area, whether it's Butler, Pennsylvania, or West Palm Beach, Florida, or wherever, they will get local sheriffs, local law enforcement, and they will augment it. They will add reinforcements to the Secret Service detail. So you have Secret Service agents and local cops protecting Donald Trump. Now, let me ask you a question. If intelligence agencies, foreign and possibly domestic, want to murder a man, is 100 Secret Service agents and 20 local cops, are they going to be able to stop it? If governments, foreign and possibly domestic, want someone dead, how often do governments fail to kill the individual they want to die? How often have you seen that? It's like the one thing government does well. They don't do anything else well, but they murder people really, really well. They're good at it. Donald Trump needs to begin breaking the bank. I don't know whether he can use PAC money for this, reasonably personal money. Donald Trump needs to begin spending an obscene amount of money on elite level private security, or I believe Donald Trump is going to die. I'm not even sure he's going to make it to the election. That's the truth. And I want to look at the first one first. I'm going to play something for you right now. This is Josh Hawley, senator out of Missouri. Hawley has been all over the first attempted assassination attempt of Trump. Listen to what he says here.
I'm told by people who are close to and have knowledge of the Secret Service's own internal investigation that the Department of Homeland Security is leaning on the Secret Service not to comply with document requests to Congress. I mean, this is really getting to be outrageous. The American people need the truth here.
That was Josh Hawley on Fox News. Why in the world would the Department of Justice stonewall anything like this? Well, let's just skip past all this. This naive wonderment thing. Democrats want Donald Trump dead. They want him dead. And Democrat politicians have repeatedly called for this over and over and over again. They're constantly using the most extreme language possible, language that sounds like, hey, go kill him. Hey, go kill him. Hey, go kill him. If you're a deranged Democrat street communist and you hear this over and over and over again, what do you think?
It is just unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
Has to be eliminated, really? Eliminate him? But I don't know. I'm just a Democrat. I'm sitting home watching CNN. Should I do it? Is it the right thing to do?
I've been talking about this now for a long time, that I did not believe that Donald Trump was planning to leave the White House. People criticized me, saying I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, I think everybody now sees what I was talking about when I said I consider Trump to be a Mussolini and Putin a Hitler. And I still hold to that. And I think the people are beginning to see what I was talking about.
Well, I'm unsure. I mean, I don't know. Mussolini and Hitler. Gosh, that sounds pretty bad. I have nothing else in life. I mean, shouldn't I stop him? I guess I probably should fly from Hawaii with an AK-47 to stop him. Do you think it's Mussolini and Hitler? I mean, that was only one person. Let me turn on CNN again.
Similarities between Mussolini and Hitler and the use of the terminology like vermin and the drive that those men had toward
stochastic terrorism. You are living in it now. It is not the future. It is the now. We are living in a culture of assassination already, and the only reason we haven't acknowledged that is they haven't been able to successfully assassinate our guy yet. They have obviously tried. They began at a congressional baseball game. They've now tried to murder Donald Trump twice in just the last couple months, but we are already a culture of assassination, and you just don't want to acknowledge it yet. And I will explain what I mean by culture of assassination in a moment. Before I do that, speaking of death, you don't want your dog to die, right? Well, you don't want your dog to die earlier than he has to. I don't. Jewish producer Chris came over to the house today, and he got to see Fred. And, of course, Fred had to go up and suck up to him the whole thing. Look, now you know why we give him rough greens, Chris. He's so pathetic. It's really the pathetic. He's so embarrassing. It's the whining and the way he looks. It's awful. Anyway, he doesn't get nutrition from dog food, and I don't want him to die early because I hope that fluffy moron is in our home forever. And so we give him rough greens because it's an all-natural nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black. You don't have to change out your dog's food. Keep the food. But just know it's empty calories and put rough greens on it. Vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, digestive enzymes. Your dog is going to be a new dog. You will see physical differences in your dog and you'll know it works. Free Jumpstart trial bags. 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? A culture of assassination. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, about 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. And yes, I will get to my two different theories on the different shooters in a bit. We're going to talk about a culture of assassination right now. We'll do Medal of Honor Monday. We have all kinds of stuff we still have to churn and burn through. But what do I mean when I say we are already a culture of assassination? Well, first, let's deal with the modern America, the America you've always known. We have traditionally had an insanely peaceful, nonviolent political process here. And I'm very aware of JFK, and I'm aware of of Lincoln. And I know there have been assassinations. I get that. I'm aware that occasionally, you may have some congressman throw a punch at somebody. But here in the United States of America, political violence like that, waking up in the morning, seeing a politician, whoever, dead, that is not something, honestly, I'm trying to think, I don't think that's something I've ever experienced in my life. I'm 43. Chris, am I forgetting? I feel like I'm forgetting one. If I am, I'm forgetting one. And it's not like I'm forgetting a bunch. I'm 43. I've never seen it. If you're old enough, and I know we have a bunch of folks who are, you'll remember JFK, but that's half the reason you remember it is it's so outside of the norm. Somebody just, what's that, Chris? Yeah, Chris brought up two assassination attempts, Gabrielle Giffords. It wasn't even successful. And attempts, Reagan, we remember an attempt on Reagan's life, but again, JFK lasts in your mind if you're of a certain age for a lot of reasons. And one of the main reasons is it was so rare. Just doesn't happen here. And because that's what we've known, it's human nature. Because that's what we've known, that's what we think we're going to know. That's what we think it's going to be. But let me explain something to you. Something that we talked about before, but man, are you seeing it now? Democrat media people, politicians, all of them, they are demonic, evil people now. And they use the rhetoric they use because they want the street people, the street communists, they want them to commit acts of violence. It's not that street communists commit acts of violence randomly. From Chuck Schumer to media people, on down the line. Threat to democracy, threat to democracy. Dome said this during the debate the other night. 67 million people watched
this. Donald Trump left us the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to take yourself out of your shoes, and I want you to make yourself a demonic Democrat as best you can. A street communist, if you will. Not one of the elites, one of the streets. So you are already a bitter person. Happy, content, grateful people don't become activist Democrats. I'm talking, you are bitter. You are angry. Maybe you were abused. Maybe drugs. Maybe a combination of a bunch of different things. You are angry. Life sucks. Life sucks. Life sucks. And you wake up every day and you turn on CNN. Every single day you turn on CNN, MSNBC, you watch when Joe Biden speaks, you watch when Dome speaks. Every single day you open up the New York Times and you see Hitler, Mussolini, Hitler, threat to democracy, civil war, Hitler, 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 Mussolini, Hitler, 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 over and over and over again, without end. At what point in time do you begin to convince yourself that killing Hitler might be the greater good? Might be for the best, in fact. It doesn't take a real strong imagination to know that we have a lot of would-be assassins already prepped and ready to go in this country because the culture Democrats and their media allies have created is a culture of assassination where stopping your political opponent by any necessary means is the greatest good you can do in your life. The rhetoric was used on purpose by Democrats for the purpose of murdering and assaulting their political opponents. It's not an accident. It's what communists have done every single time they've ever taken power anywhere. They do the exact same thing every single time. He's an animal. He's an animal. He's an animal. He's a saboteur. He's Hitler. He's Mussolini. Oh, what's that? Did someone murder him? Wow. No way. That's terrible. Anyway, that's how it happens. And so what I'm trying to explain is we've just left assassination attempt number two. There's going to be assassination attempt number 100 by the time we're 20 years from now. We now have a society full of vile little Democrat demons who believe they're supposed to go murder their political opponents because endlessly, they turn on the television and hear this crap.
I have been talking about this now for a long time. That I did not believe that Donald Trump was planning to leave the White House. People criticized me saying I didn't know what I was talking about. Well, I think everybody now sees what I was talking about when I said I consider Trump to be a Mussolini and Putin a Hitler. And I still hold to that. And
those words don't have any effect on you because you're a normal human being. If you're a vile little demon sitting at home watching MSNBC, probably on medication, probably out of work, your mommy probably didn't love you, and you're consuming this kind of disgusting filth all day, every day, you might just get up from your couch in Hawaii one day, hop on a plane, and fly to Florida because murdering Donald Trump in your mind might just be the greatest good you'll ever do in your lifetime. And I've got news for you, just like I just said. If you think the last guy trying to kill a Republican is sitting in jail in Florida, then I've got a bridge in San Francisco to sell you. Assassination is about to become the norm in this country, and it sickens me, and it saddens me. And the fact that Democrats and their media friends did this on purpose, just, man, alive. And you can tell how happy Democrats are about it. And you can tell when they finally do kill him, you can tell how they're going to react. They kind of gave it away today. And I'll go over all that after we do Medal of Honor Monday. We're going to pause all this. We're going to do Medal of Honor Monday, and we'll come back and we'll dig into a lot more of this. Before we do that, you got 5 minutes? You got 5 to 10 minutes right now? 5 to 10 minutes to stop paying a company that hates your country and hates your guts? We just had a long talk about elites having a sense of duty, how we used to have that. You know, that used to be the case in the corporate world in this country, too. And then our boardrooms got taken over by a bunch of commie, disgusting losers. That's why you have to switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk so you don't pay Verizon to crap on your country anymore. You shouldn't pay AT&T. You shouldn't pay T-Mobile. Pay Pure Talk. Same 5G network, so you're not losing a thing. You're switching to the cell phone company that loves you, loves your country, loves your values. It takes 5 minutes, 10 minutes to switch. And you're speaking on the phone to someone who speaks English. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you an extra 50% off your first month. #250, say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
The Medal of Honor is the highest military decoration in the United States. Recipients have done the improbable, the unexpected, showing immense bravery and sacrifice in the name of something much bigger than themselves.
This medal is for the man who went down that day.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, you'll hear about these heroes and what their stories tell us about the nature of bravery. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.